excited to be in chapel today. Am I on? Are we on, Preston? There we go. You excited to be in chapel today? Say amen. Where are all the new students? Raise your hand. You're a brand new student here at Howells Anderson. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today. And where are the returning students? You're returning. You're back for another school year. Lots of you are here, and we've prayed for you this summer, and I hope you had a great, great summer. And we've had a busy summer around here. Personally, it's probably been one of the busiest summers that I've ever had. We started out with the tour group, went to California, and had a great time, 2 weeks in California traveling, and then came back for a few weeks, went back out with the men's group, went out to the Northeast, and went to some camps and had a great time, and then took a family vacation, came back, and then we had Bible school, we had youth conference, we had teen bus camp, we had Spanish teen camp, and it's just been a busy summer, but it's good to be back and glad everybody's here this morning. Thank you, visitors, for coming and for bringing your children, and certainly love Howells Anderson College. And it's hard to believe that 36 years ago I walked on this campus as a 17-year-old freshman, and I had no idea what I was getting into, but so glad that I came and so glad I stayed. And just to share a little bit about my story, I was born on New Year's Eve, 1965. And it was a good day for my dad. My dad and I actually share the same birthday. But he also got to claim me on his taxes that year. So he was pretty happy about that. But I was born in Massachusetts. Anybody from Massachusetts here? I know Kara. And anyone else from Massachusetts? I think we're the only ones here from Massachusetts. How many from New England? Raise your hand. You're from New England. A few more have their hands raised, and boy, I tell you, New England is a needy place, and I pray that God would lay it on the heart of some of our young men to go to New England and start churches, and there's just so many people in that Northeast corridor and part of our country that need the Lord, but was born in a Christian family. I have three sisters. I have two older sisters, one who still lives there in Massachusetts. She has five children and I think nine grandchildren, and her husband love the Lord, and great, great family. And then I've got another sister who lives in St. Joe, Missouri, and she's married to a preacher, and he for many years has preached. He was actually saved in prison and lived a terrible life and really into some really bad stuff, and he got saved, and God called him to preach, and he preaches in public schools, and they have four children and live there. And then I have a younger sister who doesn't love the Lord, but we do claim her. But what's funny is when we were growing up, my parents, actually I was traumatized as a child with a bedtime prayer, if you can believe this. But some of you know the little prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake," what in the world? What kind of parent prays that with their kid, you know? I still have a hard time going to sleep at night, you know, worrying about if I should die before I wake. I mean, what is that? And we'd go into this and pray, "God bless, you know, Daddy and Mommy and Brenda and Jane and baby Linda." Linda was the baby, and she's still a baby. But that's our family, and sure love my family. Mom and Dad, my dad's been with the Lord now. This next month be 6 years. My dad was hearing, but my mom still lives. She's deaf. She can't hear. And that makes me a CODA. How many know what a CODA is? Some of you do. That's a child of a deaf adult. And any CODAs here today? Raise your hand. You're a CODA. Got one here. Anybody else? Raise your hand way up high. Way up high. Who else has their hand up? Oh, yeah, Brianna back there. Brianna, her dad is deaf, and her stepmom is hard of hearing. Brianna's been riding my bus probably the last 5 years. I wasn't her first bus captain, but helped her get in City Baptist. And very proud of her. Graduated valedictorian of her senior class at City Baptist, and here in college this year. She has a little sister. She's 4 years old. Her name is Jaslyn. They call her Jazzy. And Jazzy started City Baptist this week. we're excited about that. But grew up in a home. My mom was deaf. And how many of you are taking sign language? Raise your hand. Taking sign language. And boy, I tell you, such a needy group of people in our country. You know, as we travel on tour, I'm very surprised at how many churches don't have a deaf ministry. And not because there's no deaf, but really just because there's no one that knows the sign language and not able to communicate with the deaf. And such a great need. I'm so glad that the Maloneys are part of the college this year teaching sign language. And boy, I hope you would consider that and learn how to sign and help people hear the gospel and hear a message. It's a great thing. And the sign for I love you is this. Can you do this? Raise your hand up like that. It's I love you. And this is I, and L for love, and then you. So this is I love you. And you can do that here at the college, but don't do that in Chicago, okay? You might get shot. Somebody might think you're flashing gang signs or something. But very excited to have grown up in a home, Christian home. My father, after I was on staff here at college, after I was working here, I don't know how many years, but he called me one day and he said, son, God's called me into the ministry. And he was called to help churches start deaf ministries. And I don't know how old he was at that time, but they lived in a beautiful home in Plymouth, Massachusetts. He quit his job, he sold his home, and bought an RV. And the last 20 years of his life, they traveled around the country and as a BIMI missionary and would go to churches and help churches start deaf ministries, would teach people sign language, go out into the area there and bring deaf people in. And my mom, who when my dad passed away, we moved her up here to live here with us in Hammond. She has her own house. She's very independent. She'll be 80 years old next year, but going blind, but as spunky and as energetic as the lady could be, and we certainly love her. But I was born one ear, and some of you of course know that. But sometimes little bus kids will ask me. They'll say, "Ooh, what happened to your ear?" And I'll say, "Ooh, what happened to your face?" No, that's what I want to say. I don't say that. That's what I want to say. What I really say is when they do that, they say, "Oh, what happened to your ear?" I said, "I was born like that, just like you were born ugly or you were born fat or you were born stupid. You know, I was born like this, and hey, it's how God made me." And what's interesting is as growing up, I always had hair over my ears. And I went to public school all the way to my 11th grade year. And my senior year, my parents wanted me to go to a Christian school. And I remember meeting with the principal, and my dad was explaining to him my situation, and he was telling us the hair code, and my dad said, "Is there any way he could not cut his hair?" And the principal said, "Yeah, we understand, that'll be fine." So I was the only kid in high school, didn't have to cut my hair, and went all the way through, graduated. I wanted to come to Hal Zanderson, and the church I came from did not have any affiliation with Hal Zanderson at all, but the school I went to, which was in Plymouth, they had known Brother Hiles, known of him, and had come to pastor school. And they brought us to youth conference. And when I was 17 years old, that summer, God called me to preach. And boy, that was a great day in my life. And I'll say more about that later. But I went back home, and I wanted to come to Hiles Anderson. And I remember calling the college. I talked to the dean of men, and I remember over the phone explaining to him my situation. And I asked him if, you know, is there any way I wouldn't have to cut my hair? And he said, "No, I'm sorry." He said, "You know, all of our men cut their hair and over their ears." And I remember at first I was a little disappointed. But you know, I really wanted to come to Hiles Anderson. And I knew it's what God wanted me to do. And I remember the Saturday before I came to college on Monday, I went to the barbershop and for the first time cut my hair over my ears and got the tapered haircut, came to Hiles Anderson. I'm so, so glad I did. And I came here as a freshman. A few years later, I met my wife. My wife Cynthia is teaching today at one of our schools, and she's from Charleston, South Carolina. Anybody from South Carolina here? Raise your hand. Are you from South Carolina? No, you want to be from South Carolina. That's what it is. But she's from South Carolina. We met here and been married for 30 years, and the Lord's given us three awesome kids. I love our kids. My oldest daughter. She went to college here, taught at City Baptist for 6 years, and decided not to go back this year because she's going to have a baby in a couple of months, And that'll make me a grandfather. You say, do you feel old? I said, and the truth is I do. I feel like Brother Douglas. But that'll be our first grandchild, and we're excited about that. Her husband, Brian, works in the ministry, serves at the church, and he's a great guy, and also serves as a division leader in our bus ministry. And some of you will be working with him in his bus division, but I love serving with him and with my family. My oldest son, Johnny, is teaching this year at City Baptist High School, teaching Bible and history. And his wife, Megan, they got married a year ago, and she's teaching kindergarten this year at City Baptist. Pray for her. She has 14 four- and five-year-olds in her class. No, as a matter of fact, it's 13. It's not 14. Actually, it's 15. Yeah. But you pray for her. That's a lot of little four- and five-year-olds to be watching all day long. And I'm hoping she doesn't quit on me, but she's teaching this year at City Baptist. By the way, this is great news. We have 90, if you can believe this, we have 95 brand-new students at City Baptist this year. Unbelievable. We've had such a huge increase. And some of those are Hammond Baptist and City Baptist. We kind of share students from every year. You know, they'll send us some. We send them some. They sent us, I think, 8. We send them the kids that we didn't want. And so they got, if you know Vinny, they got Vinny this year. But he'll be back. But we've had such a great start. And they keep coming. We had new students come today, and I know some bus captains and workers here have other students you're working on, but we're excited about that. My youngest son, Clint, lives in Durham, North Carolina, teaches in a Christian school, and also the bus director there at Fellowship Baptist Church, and does a great job. And boy, I tell you what, there's nothing like serving the Lord. And you know, I reflect on that story, and I have to be honest with you, I didn't know as a student here at Howells Anderson College that one day that would be my future. And but I tell you what, you know, you have no idea what God has planned for you. And let me just say this, don't leave the will of God for your life. Please don't leave the will of God for your life. Don't do it for sin. Don't do it for a girl. Girls, don't do it for a guy. Because there are so many blessings that God has for your life that you will miss out on. And I wish it was a pill. I wish I could give you a pill and somehow you could see what God has for you. Now, probably scare you after death, but to see the blessings that God has for your life. And I'm excited for you. I sat where you sat. I understand the nervousness. I understand the homesickness. I understand the pressure. I understand school bills. I understand working. I understand all of that. But I'm excited for what God has planned for your life. And please don't miss it. Don't miss out on it. And I want to do this. I've got a $20 bill in my pocket. And if I know college students, there's college kids in here that could use 20 bucks, right? Am I right? We're going to play a little game here, and it won't take us that long, but it'll take us a minute, but we're going to play a game. I'm going to share some things about myself this morning, but what we're going to do is you have to choose one or the other, okay? And you're going to choose by which side of the auditorium you're standing on. So this is the center aisle. You're either going to stand on this side of the aisle, or you're going to stand on this side of the aisle. Faculty and staff, you can stay where you're seated. I know you're tired and old, and I don't want you to have to leave your seat. But all the students, stand up real quick. Stand up. We're going to do this quickly because I still got a message to preach. So this is the first thing. I don't know about you, but I like cereal. Anybody like cereal? You know, a good bowl of cereal is always a good thing. So this is the question. There's two cereals, Golden Grahams or Rice Krispies, okay? Now, this is the question. Now, listen. You have to figure out which one do I like better. Do I like Golden Grahams or do I like Rice Krispies? Okay, so this side is Golden Grahams. Okay, so if you think I like Golden Grahams, you gotta stand on this side. If you think I like Rice Krispies better, then you gotta stand on this side, okay? I'm gonna give you about 10 seconds to figure out what side you're gonna be on. Golden Grahams on this side, Rice Krispies on this side. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, get out of the aisle. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, here we go. That's it. No more moving. Stop. What side are you on? What side? Get on one side or the other. One side or the other. All right, here we go. Stop. Sakina, stop moving. Connor, come on. You're on this side? All right, here we go. Golden Grahams, Rice Krispies. I'm going with Golden Grahams. All right, so if you chose Rice Krispies, you got to sit down. You got to go back to your seat. All right, here we go. Next question. Next question is this. Would I rather go to the mountains or would I rather go to the beach? Okay, so this is it. This is the mountains. I would rather go to the mountains or I would rather go to the beach. Choose your side. I would rather go to the beach. I would rather go to the mountains. Choose your side. This side's mountains. This side is the beach. Here we go. Choose your side. Sakina, what side are you on? You're on the mountains? Okay, you guys are on the mountainside? Okay, we got some that are changing their mind. This is mountains. This is the beach. Now, I know your answer. Mountains, right? Yeah. Yeah, I know. Here we go. Mountains or beach? Okay, I'm going to be honest, okay? I'm not going to lie because I'm a preacher. I can't lie, okay? I'd rather go to the beach. So if you chose mountains, you got to sit down. All right, here we go. Next question. Here we go. Taco Bell or McDonald's? Taco Bell or McDonald's? Taco Bell on this side, McDonald's on this side. Taco Bell on this side, McDonald's on this side. Taco Bell, McDonald's. Which is it? Which is it? Taco Bell, McDonald's? Are you guys still in it? Rick, you're still in it? Okay, you're on the Taco Bell side? Okay, McDonald's, Taco Bell. I cannot lie, okay? I believe in telling the truth. I hate both of them, okay? But, I really do, I hate both of them. But if I had to choose to go to Taco Bell or McDonald's, I'm going to McDonald's. You chose Taco Bell, you got to find a seat. Here we go, next question. Here we go, real quick. Thin crust or thick crust pizza? Thin crust or thick crust? Thick crust on this side. Thick crust on this side. Thin crust on this side. Pick your side. Thick crust on this side. Thin crust on this side. Pick your side. Thick crust, thin crust. What side are you on, girls? Here we go, thick crust, thin crust. How many would choose thick crust? Raise your hand, you choose thick crust, all right? How many choose thin crust? All right, I go with the thin crust every time. Thin crust, thick crust, y'all can sit down. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's thick, he likes thick crust pizza, but you're wrong. All right, here we go. Steak or lobster? Steak or lobster? Steak or lobster? Okay, steak on this side. Steak on this side. Lobster on this side. Steak on this side. Lobster on this side. Steak on this side. Lobster on this side. Okay, I got two. I got three. I got four, five steak. I've got these guys on the lobster side. Here we go. I hate lobster. I go with steak. All right, here we go. I got to narrow it down. We got five left. Here we go. Would I rather live in the city or live in the middle of nowhere? Would I rather live in the city or live in the middle of nowhere? Okay. Middle of nowhere. I'm going to do this. Middle of nowhere on this side, city on this side. Middle of nowhere or the city. Middle of nowhere or the city. Oh, you can't change your mind. Nowhere, middle of city, I'm sorry, middle of nowhere, middle of city. I'm going with the city. Here we go. These four right here. I only got a couple more questions here. Here we go. Cubs or White Sox? Cubs or White Sox? Cubs on this side, White Sox on this side. Cubs on this side, White Sox on this side. Cubs on this side, White Sox on this side. And the, y'all are terrible. Cubs on this side, White Sox on this side. We're going with the Cubs. You guys are still in. Here we go. Next one. Next one. Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke? Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke. Diet Coke on this side, Diet Pepsi this side. Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. The Diet Pepsis win. I got two left. You girls sit down. Here we go. Kit Kat or Reese's? Kit Kat or Reese's? We'll do Kit Kat on this side, Reese's on this side. Kit Kat, it's a toss-up. One of you choose on the other side. One of you choose one. Here we go. Kit Kat. I'll do Kit Kat on this side, Reese's on this side. I'm going with the Kit Kat. You got it. There you go. Take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I've only got an hour to preach. I want to get right into this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. There's no church ed today, so we're good. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And you follow along as I read. And we're just going to read a few verses here down to verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who is before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, and I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Do this with me. Read verse number 12 out loud with me. Ready? "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Father, we pray you'd bless these next few minutes. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd do a work in our hearts. I pray you would teach us. I pray you would help us, challenge us to be everything that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is reflecting on his past life as an unsaved man who persecuted Christians and tried to do much harm to Christianity. Paul hated the church and sought means to destroy it. It's quite possible that Paul was present for the trial of Stephen that resulted in his stoning and Stephen becoming the first Christian martyr. Luke tells us that Stephen's garments were laid at the feet of Paul, then known as Saul, who was in full approval of his murder. Now Paul is thanking God for his grace and mercy. And that Jesus would come and to the world and shed his blood and die a horrific, painful death to save the chiefest of sinners who hated God and his church, and not only save Paul from hell, but put him into the ministry. I'm sure that Paul was probably voted most unlikely to be in the ministry by a senior class. But yet Paul is a type of person that God likes to use. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And I love this next verse, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." I don't know what you think is the stereotype of the person that God uses. But whatever you think it is, it's probably not so. How many of you this morning would say that God has called you in some way? God has called you into the ministry. You feel that God wants you to serve in the ministry in some way. Would you just raise your hand, just real quick? If you would keep your hands up just for a moment, let me just remind you of this. This is why this college was started. The reason we started this college was for you. Not to categorize or look down on anyone else in this room. You put your hands down. But listen, we need men and we need ladies who will serve God with their life. And we need men and ladies who will follow and answer. And not just answer, but follow through. Because a lot of young people are answering the call. Youth conferences are full of, altars are full of young people who are answering the call. Camps are full of young people who answer the call. And meetings all over the country, there's young people who are answering the call. But how many are following through? How many are going to Bible college and not just going to Bible college, but staying in Bible college and finishing Bible college, and not just finishing Bible college, but getting to the mission field and going to start that church and going to be that youth pastor, going to be that Christian school teacher? You see, we need men and ladies who will finish and follow through all the way to the end. Several things I want to notice about the ministry. First of all, I want to thank God that He found you. Thank God that He found you faithful to put you in the ministry. Boy, we ought to thank God that we're called to the ministry. There's a reason God called you, and it's because there's something God needs that only you can do. The men in this room who serve in different ministries, Brother Martinez in Puerto Rico, Brother Stedman, I believe in Illinois, and Brother Baker in Tennessee, and Brother Vestal in Oregon, and others. The work that they do is what they can only do. I can't do what he does in Oregon, and he can't do what I do here in Hammond. God has a very specific job and a very specific work. And by the way, that work is related to people getting saved. That work is related to lives being changed. Because God is interested in saving mankind. That's why He sent His Son. That's why Jesus came. That's why He shed His blood, so that people could be reconciled, so people could be saved from going to hell. And God has brought you here to fulfill a mission. There's nothing wrong with secular work, but I thank God I'm in the ministry. There's nothing wrong with being a doctor, but I thank God that I'm in the ministry. There's nothing wrong with being a dentist. I need the dentist every once in a while, but I thank God I'm in the ministry. There's nothing wrong with being a truck driver, but I thank God that I'm in the ministry. There's nothing wrong with being a lab technician or a computer technician or some kind of a job in the secular world. There's nothing wrong with that. By the way, we need them in our churches to help support the ministries. But can I tell you, I thank God. Amen. I thank God that He found me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Amen. I love serving God. Amen. I love being in the ministry. I worked secular job in college, and it was a necessary evil. Don't neglect getting a job. It's just part of life. It's part of college. You've got to work, and I worked the jobs. And I remember working in Chicago and getting ready to graduate and getting hired to work here. And I remember going to that job for the last time and taking that time card and punching out of that job. And boy, that was a great day. And then punching into the ministry. Knowing that I would never have to punch out. And boy, there's nothing like serving God. There's nothing like being in the ministry. And boy, I tell you, young men, how many young men are called to preach? Raise your hand. You're called to preach. Boy, thank God for that. And never think that a missionary or a pastor or a youth worker or youth pastor is somehow a second-class citizen because they give their life to serve God. And never be embarrassed of your calling. Never be embarrassed to tell people, yeah, I'm called to preach. And I go to Hiles Anderson College. It's a Bible college that trains young men and young ladies to serve in the ministry, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be a Hiles Anderson College graduate. I'm proud to be a Hiles Anderson College student, is what you ought to say. This is a great place. Next thing I want you to notice is this. If God has called you, he will equip you. If God has called you, he will equip you. He says in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath what? Enabled me. Enabled me. You see, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You know, when I came to Hiles Anderson, I didn't know anything about fundamentalism. I didn't know anything about soul winning. I didn't know anything about bus route, bus ministry. All I knew is that God had called me to preach. I didn't know anybody here when I came to Hiles Anderson. Not one person. Nobody from my church. Nobody from the churches in the area where we lived. There was a young lady in my church who went to Liberty and was engaged to a young man who was transferring to Hiles Anderson. And before he came, he stopped by to see her. And somehow we hooked up and said, hey, you're driving to Hiles Anderson. What if I just ride with you? This is a true story. This is hard to believe. He was a couple years older than I. We got in the car. He had a little Mustang. I put my luggage in the car. He had his luggage in there already. And we got in the car, and he said hi, and I said hi. 19 hours later, we had not said one word to each other until we pulled on the campus of Hiles Anderson. Terry King. Remember Terry King? He's in your division. We didn't say one word. We got in line at the same time, the registration line. We wound up being roommates, lived together at Baptist City, and became best friends. I mean, we just hit it off. We're great. But he was scared, and I was scared, and we didn't say one word to each other all the way to Hiles Anderson, 19 hours. But, you know, I knew that this is where God wanted me to be. And I'll be honest with you. I just tell you, I was a little intimidated. My dad wasn't a preacher. My parents weren't staff members. I'd never preached in my life. And I was looking around at all the other students, you know, and they just seemed to know so much more, and they just seemed to just kind of have it all together. And I didn't. I felt a little backward and a little bit awkward. But I knew this. I knew I loved Jesus. And I knew that he had called me into the ministry. And I, somewhere along the line in Bible college, I realized that if God called me, then he would equip me. He would give me everything that I would need for the ministry that he had called me to. You know, I think of some examples in the Bible. I think of Moses. God called Moses, and what did he do? He gave him a rod. God called David and wanted David to kill Goliath, so he gave him 5 stones. God called Joseph and wanted him to deliver the children of Israel, and God gave him favor with Pharaoh because whatever they needed, God had the ability to give them what they needed. You see, you're looking at your future and you're looking at your life, and it may be a little scary at first, and it may be a little you may be a little skeptical, a little hesitant, but please know this, that God will prepare you and equip you for exactly what he has planned for your life. The third thing I want to say is this, is that the ministry is not about what you can get, but what you can give. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Which means he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And you know, that's what the ministry is. Ministry is serving. Matthew 23:11 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know, for a servant, no job is too small. No job is too small. I remember one of my first jobs here was to guard a door at Junior Church. I mean, hey, they put my name in the bus news that year. I don't know. No, they didn't. But that was my job. I mean, I just had to stand there and make sure little kids didn't come in the auditorium at the wrong time. But, you know, to me, that was a big job. And I wasn't beneath guarding that door. And you know, it was later on, I got promoted and I got to be an usher. I got to actually stand. Some of you old timers remember Junior Church in the old auditorium. I got to stand in the aisle and move the bad kids to the bad section. And boy, I had arrived, man. I was moving on up, you know. And then I got promoted. I actually got to come up on the platform when Brother Young was leading a junior church and find the Quietsy Prize. Boy, I was really moving up. Man, I got to look out there and find the best girl and the best boy. But you know, it wasn't a few years later before I became the junior church preacher. And for about 12 years, every Sunday, preached to hundreds of kids and saw thousands of them get saved. But you know, I didn't mind guarding that door. You see, no job should be too small. A servant is not concerned about who gets the credit. Ronald Reagan said this: there's no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit. Servants look for needs to fill. By the way, if you will live your life with your eyes open, there's needs to be filled. You'll have roommates this year that have needs that you could fill. You'll have dorm mates in your dorm floor and classmates that you go to class with and guys you ride to work with and girls you ride to work with, that if you'll just, with your eyes open, look for needs, you could be a need filler. And that's what servants do. Servants look for needs to fill. I don't know if David DeMoss is in school this semester. Is David here? David here? I don't think he's here. He might be interning. But you know what? I tell you what. David DeMoss is probably one of the greatest servants at Howells Anderson College. And many times after all the students had left chapel, David would be walking through the chapel picking up paper and all the stuff that got left over afterwards. Why? Because David was a servant. He's a servant. And the Bible says that the servant is the greatest of all. Young people, know this: you have been given so much. You've been given so much. For so much of your life, you have been the recipient. You have received love from your parents. You have received love from your Sunday school teachers and your pastor and your youth workers and your bus workers. You've been a recipient. And by the way, those who give you have wanted to do that, and they love to do it, and they'll continue to do that. But let me just say this: at some point of your life, at some point of your adulthood, at some point in your maturity, as you grow and learn the ministry, you have to stop being the receiver and start being the giver. You know, at Howells Anderson, you will be served. The faculty and staff are committed to serving you. But listen, don't be just a recipient. Be a giver. Be a giver. Grow up in this area of your life and not just be one that takes in and takes in and takes in and enjoys all that you receive, but decide that you're going to grow up and start giving. I'm talking about giving your love to somebody else. This weekend, you'll go on a bus route. Hope you'll learn to give your love to some people that need your love. I hope you'll give your compassion. I hope you'll give a little bit of your money. And don't give your school bill money, or don't give your tithe. Don't do that. But I hope you'll help a little kid this weekend. I hope you'll look for needs as you visit your bus shop. I remember my first weekend in college. My first week, I'm sorry, before the weekend. Sean Collins. Remember Sean Collins? I hadn't started working a job yet, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Nothing yet. Still waiting, looking for a job." And he said, "Well, come with me." We drove up to Chicago and went to a grocery store. I had no idea where we were, what we were doing, but he went through the grocery store and he bought a bag of groceries. We got back in the car and we drove over to a bus kid's house. He knocked on the door and he set the bag of groceries on the table, and he just told the family, he said, "Hey, just want you to know we love you and thought you might need some groceries today." And you know, at that point, I just kind of realized, you know what, life's not all about me. It had been. You know, it had been. My parents had made it all about me. My leaders had made it all about me. Those who loved me had made it all about me, but I realized that it wasn't all about me. It really was about somebody else. And at some point of our life, we need to stop making it about us and start making it about someone else. And then let me end with this. The ministry has great reward. Has great reward. The Bible says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And you know, I say this morning. I say that about my own children. I'm so proud and just so thrilled with my own kids and and their spouses. I love them dearly. Proud of what they're doing for the Lord. And boy, makes the dad happy, right, Brother Baker? I mean, good night. You can't buy it. But you know, it's not just my own family. It's people that I get to invest in every week. You know, one of the joys of ministry is going somewhere and staying for a long time. 36 years ago, I was invited to a bus meeting, like some of you were invited to a bus meeting. By the way, we'll meet Saturday morning, 8:30, right here in this room. And boy, I don't miss the meeting on Saturday. We've got some things that we've never done before. It's really, really excited about what we're going to do this year, this weekend. But 36 years ago, I walked into a division meeting room and went visiting all day Saturday, rode a bus on Sunday. You know, 36 years later, I still go to a bus meeting. Still go to Chicago, still visit bus route, still ride the bus on Sunday, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. You know, if you will work hard, win souls, disciple converts, and love people, there's great reward. I'd like for all the students who have been reached by our own bus ministry here at First Baptist Church, or you attended City Baptist, I won't have you come up here, but just stand. Just stand up right where you are. There's several throughout the room. Just stand up right where you are. You know, these young people, most of them have something in common. And what they have in common is that many, many years ago, there was a college student, or maybe not that many years ago, a college student knocked on their door and either won their parents to Christ or won them to Christ and brought them to church. Paid their money, raised money so they could go to City Baptist School. And now they stand here as students at Howells Anderson College. You know, my prayer for those that are standing here today is that you would not just be grateful for what you've been given, but that you would give back. That you would give back. Jose, I'm not sure you ever rode a bus, but your parents did. Rick, go ahead and stand. Rick and Elias, you guys stand. These guys have never ridden a bus. Elias, stand up, buddy. Stand up. These guys have never ridden a bus before. You know, we don't call you bus kids. You guys never rode a bus. But your moms did. Because I used to pick them up. I used to bring your mom to church. I remember knocking on their door as a college student. I was only 21. But I wanted to reach people. And I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And I didn't know that 25 years later, 30 years later, that some of those bus kids would grow up and become preachers' wives. That they would send their young men to Howells Anderson College. See, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You can be seated. Every student should have a goal to leave someone behind that you helped make a difference in their life. You know, our goal is not for you to stay. We'd love for you to stay. One of the hardest things about being bus director here is that bus workers and bus captains and division leaders graduate and they leave. And that's tough. I hate it. But yet, on the other side, I love it because I know you're going to go out around this country and around the world and do some great things for God. But let me just say this, while you're here, some of you seniors, you've only got a year left. Whose life is being impacted by your life? Juniors, you've only got a couple years. Freshmen, you've got 4 years ahead of you. Sorry to discourage you so early in the year, but but you ought to make it a goal that while you're in college, there's going to be somebody who's different. Their lives have been impacted. They've been saved. They've been discipled. They've been brought to church. Maybe their school bill was paid and you helped put a little money to their school bill so they could attend a Christian school, but you had a part in making a difference in someone's life. Let me challenge you this morning to finish what you started. You started a journey. You don't know where that journey will take you, but let me just say, it's all good. It's all good. Just stay in there. Hang in there and finish what you started, because the ministry is a wonderful place to be. Take your Bibles. Go back to that verse. Number 12, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. And let's read that verse together again one more time. Ready? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Aren't you thankful that God put you in the ministry? Aren't you grateful that God called you to preach, young men? Aren't you grateful that God has called you to be a missionary? God has called you to serve in a full-time way. Boy, we ought to rejoice. I know there's troubles. I know there's heartaches. I know there's difficulties. But boy, I tell you, deep in our heart, we ought to thank God we're in the ministry. And we get to serve Jesus Christ. And what we do counts for eternity. It matters forever. And boy, I don't know anything more exciting than that. Father, I pray you'd take the message this morning. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help these freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors to grab a hold of these thoughts today. Help us to serve and give. Help us to make a difference. Help us, Lord, to finish what we started. Help us to rejoice and thank you that you found us faithful to put us into the ministry.